I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama. Oh my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in a city like Russell's career. It's Rainin' J's. Rainin' J's. Millie's.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from The Athletic, joined by Sam Jam Packard, the great, formerly of WEEI. It's been a while since I hosted this podcast. Corrales has been the nightly podcast host, but he's in Miami tonight in his new post at Mass Live. And so it's me and Jam discussing the Celtics' ugly loss to the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I mean, going into the night, I thought I was reading some of the best Celtics reporters out there, and I thought the Celtics found something and were maybe starting to put together something special, but then they put together just a crap, what was it, like 18, 19 minutes at the end of the first quarter and second quarter, and this were pretty much bad from offense the entire night. What happened to the ball movement? What happened to the passing? What happened to the assists? It was just terrible tonight. Yeah. It's just unexplainable after like five just really strong games.
They went back to all the bad habits that hurt them at the beginning of the season. And Miami does a lot of switching. Miami has a lot of versatile guys. They're sort of like the Celtics in that aspect. And I think they just kind of lulled the Celtics into an ISO game. And that hasn't been their game at all this season. They're actually one of the worst isolation teams, according to the efficiency numbers, in the entire league. So, not great when they do that. Not great. We got to talk about Rob Williams, because Rob Williams was fantastic. We got to talk about Marcus Smart doing the kip-up, because Marcus Smart did a kip-up. And
Marcus Smart did lots of things tonight. All of them fantastic.
Yeah, Marcus Smart was just about the only one who kind of brought it. It was an ugly, ugly game for the Celtics. Like, Al Horford threw some crappy turnovers in the fourth quarter when they were kind of threatening. Dwayne Wade had his way with the Celtics. He had one post move on Gordon Hayward that was like, whoa, that was young D Wade. And
he knocked down three threes, which is just not part of, or has never been part of Dwayne Wade's game.
Yeah, the Heat had, I believe their previous season high was 15 three-pointers made, and they hit 18. So they hit a lot more three-pointers than usual. But it was the Celtics offense, I thought, that really got them off to the bad start. Like, they hit 6 of 7 threes in the first 4 or 5 minutes. They were on a ridiculous run early. And then just kind of went to full ISO. And that hasn't been at all what they've done lately. It looked more like they were during the 10-10 start, more what they were at their worst early in the season than what they've been lately. And it really was bad. There were moments when it was like, what are you guys doing? Jason Tatum settled for a few jumpers. It was like just gross. He couple on Hassan Whiteside where he had switches and just settled instead of trying to beat him and create something for his teammates. Marcus Morris, even though he's been ridiculous all season, kind of had a couple of similar moments. It was certainly the most disjointed the Celtics have looked in a while.
Yeah, so I'm looking at my notes, and it's 5 minutes left in the first quarter, 18-17, and they basically scored 6 points the rest of that quarter. And it kind of coincided that what came in when Tyson Hayward came into the game, and then 2 minutes later, Jalen and Terry. I mean, the bench was just not good tonight. Like, the the strength of the team in the run was over that pass run where they're doing so well was getting a lot of bench scoring. And we saw just like Hayward do well. Jaylen Brown have some nice games. But tonight it just seemed like the bench couldn't do anything. And I don't know, as you mentioned, the Heat do switch a lot and kind of were packing the paint. But the like they really couldn't do anything. And it kind of it just turned into ugly, ugly basketball. And I know like the classic built-in excuse is like, oh, it's a schedule loss. It's a back-to-back. But it's just that doesn't make sense for them to look like this bad and revert this poorly. I think that may be excuse for Al Horford like that. He just did not look.
Yeah, he didn't have tonight. It. He didn't have it at all. He was a minus 26, according to the box score I'm looking at right now, which is not very good. And you know, the best they looked all night was when Robert Williams came in during the third quarter and kind of just gave him a jolt. And Williams hasn't, like, his on-off numbers have been bad this year. Nobody's noticed that because everyone just wants to talk about his dunks and blocks, and a lot of it is in garbage time, so some of it doesn't even matter or make like, his on-off numbers aren't something to look at. But plus 15 today, and he was really great. He probably the best he's played is he was active. His hands were everywhere. He caught a lob from Tatum.
Just the defense when he came in the game just seemed like it picked up in intensity, and they were creating a lot of turnovers. The Celtics went on their own after giving up a 21-3 run. They went on their own 21-3 run, but it's like you go on a 16-0 run and basically you're still down 10. It's you can't dig yourself in that hole. But I thought Robert Williams definitely gave them a punch, some activity, and it's not like the Heat dominated on the inside tonight in terms of going against Horford or Tice. It's just, I don't know, it just felt like there was a lot more energy with the Celtics with Robert Williams and then basically like the rest of the starters in the game, because everyone else, including Al Horford, it was basically the bench and Al Horford was not very good. But, I mean, shouts to the Time Lord for doing things. He's a nothing on offense. Like, if he's not catching a lob, he's just standing out by the perimeter and trying to pass the ball immediately. But he was enough to give that impact on defense.
He had the one fast break where he and Kyrie had the give and go, where Kyrie fed Williams and then Williams fed it back to him for a layup. Like, he shows some neat skills. But then there was another play when Kyrie was trying to come off a Williams screen and Williams had no clue what he was supposed to do, it looked like. That's at least how I saw the play. It looked like Kyrie was – he was definitely coming around the screen, and Williams is kind of looking for the ball too, like trying to go get it. So there are still some things he needs to work on. He's a rookie, but he's promising, man. He does a lot of neat things, and his energy was an obvious difference from the rest of the Celtics. Marcus Smart too was just that block he had may have been the defensive play of the season. Just
it was insane.
Joke
I was watching in a hotel lobby and I jumped up from the couch and people started staring at me and I was like, no, but look, Smurf just destroyed that. He was intense all night. He had the kip up after falling down. He had his 3-point shooting was fantastic, but I think my favorite moment was the air ball that immediately, like, somehow the Celtics get the rebound and it gets back to Smart and he dribbles 5 feet out and takes another like contested three and drains it. And then like, that's the Marcus Smart experience, but he was taking basically aggressive threes all night. He was the only real reason the Celtics got back into this game or had a fighting chance. He finished with how many 18 points, 4 of 8 from deep. But I mean, other like Rob Williams, Marcus Smart. And then I can't like, are there any other highlights? Marcus Morris was 3 of 5 from deep. I mean, I guess the 3-point shooting wasn't terrible, but
Kyrie Irving had 11 points in like 3 seconds.
At the start of the game, the team was very hot, but then it just like quickly fell apart. And once you fall down 26, it's just impossible to come back. Like no matter how well you're playing, just like they went that run, but eventually those guys get tired. Then you bring in these guys from the bench. Terry Rozier had they opened up that fourth quarter after they had cut it and like trimmed the lead. You thought they had that momentum, and basically the Heat basically just went on a 12-4 run and just like, oh, the game's over. And that was a lot of bad Terry Rozier shots. Al Horford throwing the terrible passes that you mentioned. And it was just, I don't know. Is it? I guess the question is, like, what do you make of this game long term? Because my response is always to a loss like this. It's like, oh, it's one game. They're playing the Magic next. Let's not worry about it. But, like, how do you put up this bad of a game after playing your best basketball, like, of the season in the previous five?
Sometimes it just happens, I think. I mean, you don't want to give them excuses, but the back-to-back from Boston to Miami is tough.
That's poppycock, man. I flew 9 hours the other day. I'm feeling fresh as a daisy.
Actually,
back-to-back. You texted, although I didn't play any NBA basketball games.
You texted me something like complaining about how you'd flown 9 hours that day. So,
well, yeah, but I didn't let it affect my performance. I was great on the podcast last night.
I disagree.
You didn't listen, J.K. You never listen.
I did not listen. That's true.
Well, so you don't even know the format. Now we, like, take structured breaks and, like, we plan out topics. It's all kind of crazy. Like, right now, we're going to take a break and come back and talk about the Miami Heat's bench.
No, we're not, because...
Dude, I just set that up going to the break perfectly. You ruined it. You botched it.
You can't go to the break like, I guess it was a good time to go to the break. We'll go to the break.
Well, I don't know how we're going to get to the break now.
And we're back to here to talk about the Heat bench. Was that good?
I think that was good. I think you're getting it finally.
Well,
look at this.
Okay.
Derrick Jones Jr., 14 points. Tyler Johnson, who they're paying $15 million a year to be the basically their 11th man, hit three dagger threes tonight. And then Dwayne Wade, probably my least favorite basketball player of all time. 19 and just like dominated the Celtics. They had a run, they had all the momentum, and then just Wade comes in and knocks down a three. Like, the Celtics' strength is supposed to be their depth and their bench. And I guess, like, Miami has a pretty deep team. They don't have as much as elite talent as the Celtics do, but how do you lose, like, give up the bench? How many points is that? Quick math.
That's a lot.
44 points to those three guys, and then 8 for Bam and 8 for Deion Waiters. That's insane. They gave up more than 55 points to the Heat bench. There's no way you can win a basketball game doing that.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of points. And you know what? Hayward, Rozier, and Brown have all played well recently. And I think Tice has had, especially during the 4-game winning streak, like, he's been pretty good. I thought he struggled with Hassan Whiteside's side. Like, it's just been a brutal run of centers for Tice to go up against. The only thing that really bothers him the most, or the thing that bothers him the most, is size. Like, he's just 6'9", 210 pounds, or whatever his actual size is. And so it's tough for him against guys that are big and strong and quick and powerful. And this run without Baines has been against, like, all the biggest, strongest, most powerful centers in the league. And Hassan Whiteside worked his way for a couple offensive rebounds. But Tice wasn't the problem. Those guys, like, as I said, Hayward, Rozier, Brown, they've been playing their best basketball of the season lately. This is just one dud. I don't want to read too much into it, but Dwayne Wade was definitely kicking some ass. And the rest of the Heat were just hitting big shots. The only one who seemed to miss at all was Deion Waiters.
And even he had 8 points. Yeah, he was 3 of 12. Isn't his, like, first game back, and he's still kind of obese? But, I mean, the Heat shot 46% from three. And I just, like, I didn't necessarily think of them as a three-point shooting team. That combined with the Celtics offense is good enough for a loss. I don't get I don't get how Dwayne Wade works. The dude's 50 years old. Do you think he was just saving this up because it was the Celtics? Like, was he jacked up because it was Miami Vice night? Like, I didn't see this coming, but it felt all too familiar.
As a fellow old man, I can say that there are nights when the legs just work. Nights when the body just feels good. It's not all the time. It's pretty rare. It gets rarer as you get older. And now I'm kind of putting myself in Dwayne Wade's shoes. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm an absolute bum.
But I'm sure you're going to call yourself a Hall of Famer there.
It looked like one of those nights where his body just felt really good. Like the passing lane steal and finish at the other end. He was hitting three, and some of it was just, you don't expect Dwayne Wade to shoot like that. And he was a marksman. And some of it was just, he was spry, man. Dwayne Wade was spry. He was just going by dudes. It was a cool moment after the game when he and Terry Rozier swapped jerseys. Terry Rozier looked up to Dwayne Wade like that was his absolute idol growing up. And he's never hidden that, like spoke to Dwayne Wade about it in the past. And so for them to exchange jerseys and in this the last year of Wade's career, that's pretty cool.
I don't care for it. I don't like Dwayne Wade. I never have. My first podcast I ever had was called "I Hate Dwayne Wade." I mean, I respect him because he's good. I mostly dislike him because he's played well against the Celtics. But I don't like that he tried to hurt Rajon Rondo. I don't like that he stole his first championship by getting a bunch of fake buckets. I don't like that he has a very attractive wife. And I will never like Dwayne Wade. And frankly, tonight was a dagger in my heart because I don't like the man. It's not fun when he performs well.
Uh-oh. Have you seen this Bleacher Report tweet?
I have not.
A video of Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris needing to get separated during a timeout.
Ooh, that's some fun. Let me take a browse.
Yeah.
Does it look serious?
Go to Bleacher Report. Marcus Morris shoved Jaylen Brown, and then a teammate came in. Marcus Smart came in to break things up.
How is this not covered, like, during the game? I guess the IG story wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, it does feel like Jaylen Brown has been the – whenever people are talking about, like, the young guys need to change, or like the young guys need to understand the role. It feels like it's a lot of it's directed at Jaylen Brown. We've seen earlier times in the season when Jaylen Brown's basically just got yelled at by the entire team. So it's not the most surprising. We don't know like at what point in the game this was, but I'm presuming it was at some point when the Celtics were getting their ass kicked. You don't normally see this public. It looks like Jaylen Brown may have said something to Mook to get Mook so angry, but who knows? Let the speculation run wild. There's going to be posts about this for days. The Celtics season, I guarantee there's going to be tweets about how the Celtics season is doomed because they don't have the right chemistry.
I'm not so sure that it's that serious.
I don't think so, but I think I guarantee people are going to overreact.
But Jaylen has definitely been like a guy who's taken a lot of grief from his teammates. And I think Jaylen has taken a lot from the fans too. But from what we've seen publicly, at least, like Jaylen, that one time when they were so mad at him at halftime because he failed to run a play the right way, I was just like, why are you guys so, so mad? And this little kerfuffle, can we call it a kerfuffle?
Oh, most definitely it's a kerfuffle. All
right, let's call it a kerfuffle. Probably not a big deal. Like, people get in arguments with teammates all the time. As long as it doesn't move into the next day, it's not a big deal. As long as you can move past it, move forward, play together, totally cool. But sometimes Marcus Morris is going to shove a dude.
I'm rewatching the video. First of all, this is A-Hub, though, the Instagram user. Just terrible camera work. Just like completely misses the majority of the conversation here, but I'm going to do my best analysis. It looks like Marcus Morris is talking to Jaylen Brown, basically just yelling in his face during the timeout. Marcus Morris is saying what they need to do better, and then he got a little too close for Jaylen Brown's liking. I think Jaylen Brown maybe extended the arm saying back off, and then Marcus Morris gave him the shove. And funny enough, it looked like Marcus Morris maybe had taken a little trip there, but it just felt like Jaylen Brown was frustrated and pushed him away. No one looked too crazy about it, but terrible camera work. But I agree. There's going to be another team meeting about it. Everything will be solved.
My favorite part.
I thought the Celtics going to come back because they got Mark D'Amico tweet out how they came out very quickly from halftime.
My favorite part of the video is Kyrie Irving just kind of like being totally calm, like looking on, like, oh, okay. Like, that just happened. All right. And then just kind of gauges the situation. Didn't really react much. Yeah. It's, I doubt it's a big deal, but it happened. Two guys got mad at each other. And we've seen two guys get mad at each other before. Probably the maddest two guys have gotten at each other were Kevin Durant and Draymond Green this season. And with them, like, that was personal. That was something deeply personal. This is probably just a basketball thing. And
so we hope. Before we take another break, you notice how I've had to step in and be the quarterback now that you've taken so many podcasts off. But before we take another break, give me your quick RJ Hunter thoughts before we get to the people's tweets and the junk drawer.
RJ Hunter is back. RJ Hunter was a former Celtics first round pick. RJ Hunter is a very good guy to speak to. He has made a lot of three-pointers in the G League this season. The fact that the Celtics wanted to bring him back speaks highly of the fact that they like his character. They like the improvements he's made since they waived him to keep James Young on the roster a few years ago. And it's another reminder that the Lemon Party has ended.
RIP to the Lemon Party. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to see any impact from RJ Hunter on the Celtics here. I mean, PJ Dozier's the other two-way guy, and he only gets garbage time. I'm just happy for my main man, Nick Friedman, down there with the Red Claws, because their offense has not been good this year, and so they need all the help they can get. And RJ Hunter can put up 40 in the G League, so maybe it'll help out the main Red Claws, but it's just nice to see him back there. Remember when people thought that, like, him and James Young were the savior for this franchise? They were going to be the new up and comers.
Yes. Yes, I do. That was
time flies.
Those are the days. But RJ, I spoke to him at Summer League, and at the time he was like, yeah, I'm not ready to try overseas. I still think I'm an NBA reporter or an NBA player rather. And he wants to give it a shot. And now, you know, two-way contract with the Celtics, back where it all began. We'll see if he makes any impact on the big team. He's going to start off with the Red Claws, it sounds like. And there's not a lot of opportunity on the Celtics perimeter right now. But injuries could happen. Things could happen. RJ Hunter, it's cool that he's back. And now we'll go to break as the quarterback, Jay King, regains control of this squadron. I'm a quarterback in the sense that like.
Well, assuming that you're the quarterback, I'm assuming you have all the reigning Jays tweets ready to read.
That is totally, totally right.
All right. Well, I'm excited for when we come back after the break.
And we're back with some reigning Jays. Hashtag Rain and Jays. We're here to answer your questions, your critiques, your comments. Use the hashtag Rain and Jays, hashtag Rain and Junk for more silly stuff. That's Jam's favorite thing. All right. We've got Mike Dinan. Wants to know, Celtics were on a back-to-back Miami, but how much did it matter? They hadn't had a back-to-back since December 14th, 15th. We kind of answered this a little earlier. Jam was not sold on the impact of the back-to-back, except for how it pertained to Al Horford, who didn't seem like he had his fastball tonight. He's been dealing with some knee issues on a minutes restriction and was 1-for-8 with 2 points. A lot of wide-open missed threes. That could have been the difference. Or not the difference. That could have been the difference. No, but it could have helped the Celtics stay close or start to come back. It's hard. It's impossible to know exactly how much the back-to-back impacts. So that's my answer.
Yeah, we have no idea about the counterfactual, so I'm not gonna try to argue any causation here. It definitely the Celtics' shitty performance definitely correlated with the back-to-back, but I have no idea about causation.
At Big Boston B wants to know, why does Kyle Kuzma have a 40-point game, but Tatum doesn't even have a 30-point game. Is there something there?
Because Kyle Kuzma right now is surrounded by trash and garbage, and Tatum has been surrounded by Kyrie Irving and numerous other quite talented players. Yeah, I'm pretty sure in that game it was just Kyle Kuzma chucking. It's like that's completely understandable when it's like Lance Stephenson and Michael Beasley are around you and Josh Hart. And Josh Hart's not a bad player. Actually, I got to see him play when he's some in Villanova, but it's just like when you're the only option, you're much more likely to score 40 points. I don't think it's because Kyle Kuzma is better than Jason Tatum.
Yeah. Tatum has quietly struggled, though. Tatum, like,
he hasn't.
His shooting numbers are down. He's like the one guy who hasn't been hot before tonight, of course, but over the last like month and a half, he's the one guy who hasn't gotten hot.
No, he hasn't been the same Jason Tatum of yesteryear, but I don't know. I think it starts with his shot selection. I mean, clearly he went back to his bad habits tonight, but I thought he had some better moments down in at least in the fourth quarter, was trying to use his size in the paint, but you're right.
And he will forever roast the Pacers. Maybe it's just me thinking things. I didn't actually look at the stats. I always feel like he roasts the Pacers. Always.
It's kind of like Hayward and the Timberwolves.
Ooh.
Ooh. Or we thought Hayward and the Heat. Hayward had some like crazy numbers going into the playing against the Heat, but no dice tonight.
Good point. So some people wanted to blame me for the Celtics loss tonight because I wrote an article that was then tweeted out by someone else with the caption, "Are the Celtics becoming something special?" Or something like that. And so some people want to blame me.
What do you mean someone added that? That's literally the highlight. The
headline of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But James Beard wants to make sure that everyone knows that it was his fault. He said, "Shit, sorry. It's me today, guys. I wasn't able to watch most of the third, and they played great. I'll catch up on the pod later." So
I respect that accountability.
That's on James Beard. Don't blame me. Blame James Beard. It's his fault.
People were also trying to blame me because the Celtics had one of their best games of the season when I was on a plane, and people were telling me to drive to the airport now to try to get the Celtics to play better. But yeah, it's clearly not my fault either. It's James Beard, Beard Jam.
Jovian Shadow wanted to know why the Time Lord didn't get back in the game sooner. He did play like legit minutes when the Celtics had a last gasp chance to come back. So, Time Lord Robert Williams earned a second stint in the second half. He was very good. As small hands.
He played a lot of minutes in the second quarter, the third quarter, when they were basically making their comeback. You got to give some rest and, you know, try Al Horford out there. I wasn't like too concerned about Time Lord's minutes. I thought he played.
Yeah, he's Al Horford. He's Al Horford. Like, you don't just give away Al Horford's minutes because some rookie plays well. That's not how this goes. At No The Other Pat wants you to know though, it was a taco worthy quarter from the Time Lord for sure. I don't disagree. He's making a strong push for the taco truck.
We'll have to find out. You guys will have to tune in on Monday, find out.
We got questions about Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson.
No Anthony Davis, and no, I
we'll
can't
save
even
those.
Do that
we'll
nonsense.
Save we'll save those for later. Marcus Smart from Reese Hughes. My favorite thing about Marcus Smart is that he does things that he has no business doing. He shouldn't be physically able to get that block. Yeah. Travis Lewis.
He's insane.
This is true. The Kip Up though. Kip Up. Only Kip Up guy in the NBA. Travis Lewis. Big Rob evolving on D. He's reading the game much better, filling the gaps, and has stopped the scoring inside. Very impressed all the way from Australia. He was not so impressed with Tatum running out to the three-point wing on a fast break rather than attacking the cup. That's from Trav Lewis as well.
That's modern basketball, my friend. That's how they're trained to do. Get to the corner, not get to the rim.
Yes.
They did mess up a number of fast break opportunities tonight. There was like a stretch there where it was really bad, and then they had another 5-on-4. I think Kyrie ended up missing a three, but they were not sharp, I would say, on the break.
They missed like 19 layups in a 1-2 possession span. It was like Jalen missed several in a row on the same play, and then Tice missed a couple, and there was just there were a lot of missed layups at one stretch during the first and second quarter when they were just trash. They were trash. Joe Rozanski agrees. He tweeted, this game reminds him of the Pistons game in December. Celtics close out a back-to-back on the road, trying to jack up a bunch of mid-range and threes, but don't have the legs for it. Respect to Joe Rozanski. Ooh, James Ready? Beard. James Beard, he took the heat for the loss, but also predicted the Time Lord matchup against Whiteside. Can we just get to the part where Time Lord squares up against Whiteside? This is the glory of reading through these tweets backwards chronologically. You get to parts that was suspense. That was a mystery tweet right there. Well done, James Beard. That threw me for a loop. He also had a great tweet comparing Smart and Winslow to two Buffaloes just clashing each other in the head. Respect. James Beard had quite a night on the Rain and James hashtag.
High volume, but high efficiency as well.
Yeah, it was quite a night for Mr. Beard. And that's it for the Rain and James. Now it's on to the junk. Here you go, Jam. You got to admit, I was a little more ready than you thought for that.
I was shocked that you had any of the tweets. I'm hoping you just have a tweet deck thing up and you just had a Raining Jays, but you the adjustment period, if you weren't ready after I call you out, was well done. That's why you're sometimes quarterback.
See? Quarterback of the year. Just call me Pat Mahomes.
There you go. This is from @Caleb. Did John lose this game for the Celtics? Raining junk. Well, let's dive into the tweets here.
Brad kind of suggested that.
Jinxing the game for the Celtics. So, John's first road game, and they settled for a bunch of jump shots. So you could blame all of the Raining Jays, or you could blame James Beard. It's up to you. This is from Cindy at Mrs. Celtics. I bet if RJ Hunter was in the game, we would have won. He's the missing piece to BWA with the two Marcuses starting. Guaranteed banner 18 if we get James Young back too. There you go. People have this nostalgia for players who weren't very good.
There is a lot of nostalgia out there. I'm a big, big nostalgia guy.
This is from Aaron Baines. Jam, my man. They were one short of the over two. Vegas knows too much. Raining junk. Yeah, man. I after reading your column, I'm gonna blame you. I'm in Nevada. There's a sports book near my house. I saw the Celtics were favored by only 2.5 points. The over under was 210 or 211. I thought, man, this is a steal. I might put a little wager down. And I even convinced some of my friends. So I was like, this is the game to bet on. And man, was I wrong.
So I made all you guys broke.
I wouldn't say broke. We're not really big spenders, but you inspired me to inspire them to be broke.
I have never been happier in my life. I have never been happier in my life that I took money out of your pockets, out of your friends' pockets. Because if you had asked me straight up, if you had texted me, should I bet on the Celtics tonight? I would have said, hell no. It's the second night of a back-to-back in Miami. In Miami.
What's in the Miami got to do with it?
The land of Justice Winslow. No, but that's a tough back-to-back. Who knows if they did some extracurricular activities in South Beach last night? I'm not saying they did. I'm just saying it. That's something that's there in South Beach. But yeah, I would have just come straight to the source next time, huh?
All right, I won't read your articles
anymore. But I'm glad you're broke now.
I'm definitely broke. @ Robert Denton, when the dancing bear is in with the golden hair, you know it's over. Yeah, Brad did kind of give up there. This is from Matt Decker. Boston versus Miami is more like a snuff film than Erotic City. I'd have to agree that was not great. They have a number of things about the Smurfs kip up.
I would say the Heat put together a pretty erotic game, though.
Erotic game in some pretty erotic uniforms.
Justice Winslow had a couple floaters. the dunk on Kyrie was filthy. The Whiteside had one dunk that I believe I remember that was very loud.
James Johnson almost murdered Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. But Kyrie's floater was outrageous. We gotta just note that.
Oh, that was in the junk drawer. He basically took a one-handed floater from 18 feet.
Yeah, that was silly. That really was silly.
All right. I'm going to just get to the junk drawer. I've been going a little long, but I'll go through it quick. Marv Albert doesn't know his ass from his elbows. Miami Heat in the black jerseys kind of looked evil. And Eric Spoelstra, I thought, was the part, like, didn't even need to change. He just kind of looks evil. I hate Dwayne Wade. I was very amused by you arguing earlier on Twitter with a guy with two followers.
He was cracking me up, man. He was giving me real joy.
What, he came at you because you asked people to read your article, but then it was behind a paywall?
Yeah, so he was mad that I wanted people to read my article, but it was behind a paywall, and he doesn't have the Athletic subscription. So he was basically mad that I made him want to read my article, but he couldn't. And then he came with some serious philosophies about the paywall that don't sound correct in a lot of ways.
I was just very amused to be like, who is this guy Jay's arguing with, and then click on it and see that he actually had two followers.
Yeah.
That's not even robots wanted to follow this guy, but he popped up in your mentions, and you needed to correct him.
I had to. And he was fun. We went back and forth at each other for a little while. He hit me with some zingers. I hit him back with some zingers. I think we had a good time. I think both he and I enjoyed that conversation.
But did he end up subscribing to The Athletic?
No, he did not end up subscribing to The Athletic. Chance. But I did convince someone else to subscribe to The Athletic during the conversation.
Ooh, yeah. There you go. We're going to pour one out right now for old friend Kelly Olynyk. Only getting 5 minutes tonight. We're not really doing anything. Not a good look.
He played long enough for you to get out a positional defense tweet.
That's true. You got to respect Kelly Olynyk's positional defense. But the entire time the Celtics were going to, just like, they wouldn't attack Kelly Olynyk at the rim. It was they didn't do anything good.
He was kind of in there when the Celtics were playing some of their most gross basketball, I would say. He was a zero in plus minus. Huge night from Kelly. But good man. And great sideline interview from Chris Forsberg after the game. So,
there you go.
Forsberg and Kelly Olynyk, right. Baby.
Going to wrap this up. Daniel Tice doesn't know how to rebound the basketball, just likes to tip it.
He did tip a lot.
I love the tip.
And it was the defensive tip, which is rare. He tips out a lot of offensive rebounds, which is cool. It's kind of like the Tyson Chandler thing. But when you're tipping out defensive rebounds, that's pretty rare, I feel like.
But he's a known tipper. This is not something new for him. There's 85 air balls tonight. The Smurf kip-up was cool. I feel dumb for having belief in the Celtics when they came back on that 21-3 run. I'm pretty sure Tatum concussed Tyler Johnson at the end of the game. I hate Dwayne Wade, and Yabu hit a bank three.
Yabu did hit a bank three.
That's true. That's my junk for the day. Emptied. Junk drawer emptied.
Junk drawer emptied. King Jam podcast completed.
Man, you have been smooth in and out of transitions today.
I'm the Kirk Cousins of quarterbacking.
I would say that's a great description.
Yeah.
You like that? You like that?
I do like that. I do like that. We miss Corrales. He's there in Miami, jinxing the Celtics, getting called out by Brad Stevens in the post-game interview. And not here. Guiding us to glory on the podcast. Anyway, that's it for this post-game edition of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Damn, that was smooth.
So every once in a while, Kirk Cousins brings it, baby.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corral.